And he became a fugitive. The opposite of what God wants him. I mean, he anointed him to go upwards on the social status, to be king. He went backwards, became a fugitive, running away. I can show you example after example in the Bible where God has called, God has spoken, people obeyed, and you press the pause button in the middle of what they were doing. It looks like they were not succeeding. Success is not measured in the same way we humans measure. Success in God is not measured on immediate results. There will be results. But it's not measured on immediate results, natural results. It's measured on eternal results. God has definitely sent Paul. And here he is in the prison. He had done all he can do. And when he was in prison, beaten in shackles, and Paul and Silas and Timothy would look at one another. And if Timothy were one of those normal Christians, say, Paul, it's your fault. I told you not to cast it out. Silas said, I agree with Timothy. Paul, it's your fault. Blaming one another. So they are sitting there, you know, and they'll be miserable. And after a bit of blaming one another, they'll turn around and blame God. God, you sent me. Look at these stripes here. You know, I did ask to be a sergeant in the Lord, but I don't mean these three stripes here. And they turn around and blame God. Because things were not working out as expected. I believe it's in this series that we covered the area that when God sends you and to do something, things don't always turn out. In life, if you have not been living this life long enough, one of the things you realize is things don't always work out the way you plan. Like, think about the things you and I plan in your life. Did you plan for imprisonment? Do you plan for stripes? Do you plan for the guy next door to come around and spray paint your paint and says, I hate you, believers? Do you plan for all those things? No, you and I don't plan those things. Because if you and I had the ink and the paper and the power to plan our lives, I know what our lives would be like. It's somewhere very different from the way God plans it. Which is why God says, you know, that's not our territory. But it was a part of God's plan. God's plan always include the cross. God's plan always include opposition. But God's plan thankfully include how we overcome them. Our plans never include Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. Our plans never include the lion's den. Our plans never include the Adullam cave. Our plans never include those things. But God does. God does. Because out of all those things, God showed the power of how we can overcome. All those Bible stories that inspire you and I are stories of people overcoming the greatest adversities. David overcoming Goliath. Daniel going through the lion's den. Moses facing opposition in Egypt. Jesus going right through the cross. These are part of God's plan in each one of our life. The Christianity that God comes to bring is very opposite from many others' modernization of what Christianity means. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy were not put aside by all those things. In verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. In other words, it never affected them. When you read this story, some of us said, they must have a different type of Christianity from us. Because very seldom in the book of Acts do you find the Christians complaining. Very seldom. They all returned heavy. Thank you very much. Very seldom. They remove the complaints department. Eradicate it. And they had a very different attitude. So the only way I can look at Christianity in this way is somehow our modern Christianity must have slightly gone off tangent. So that the prophet Dudu Man, if you haven't heard of prophet Dudu Man, he's a prophet died in 1997, who I believe is one of the true prophets God raised in our modern world. And he was pronouncing different things that God was speaking over different areas in certain countries. And then God was pronouncing judgment. He was speaking them forth. And then he said, God, what about your church? Your church is there to witness. And then the Lord's answer is, my church only preach happiness. They don't preach judgment, righteousness, holiness, and the last days. Well, that is an indictment on the church. And there's a list of things that you could list how opposite we are. In answer to low self-esteem, preachers offer self-high esteem instead of self-sacrifice. In answer to the Lord adding to the church as many as we save, we replace it with we add to the church by ourself and by our program. In answer to, and instead of teaching people about repentance and holiness, they are teaching people about happiness and being naturally satisfied in their success. I believe there are a lot of things that we could list that we have become the very opposites of what the Bible meant. And we produce a group of Christians, modern Christians, who are not prepared for persecution or for suffering. And so we don't have the stamina because we are not trained for those things. But we all know this. We all know this, that every good Christian worth their salt, every Christian who believes in the Bible knows that in the last days will be like the last days of Noah and Lot. We all know that the religious and the really holy people will be rejected by this world. And yet we are not preparing Christians. Now, I don't mean a mentality of hide under in a cave thing. But I do believe that we need to balance whatever we are teaching Christians on overcoming with the fact that we need to prepare them that, look, instead of the world preaching come, you know. We make the way of salvation broad, but Jesus made the way of salvation narrow. Instead of preaching the broad way, the broad way of salvation, Jesus was preaching the narrow way of salvation. Jesus said, go by the narrow way. Say, the broad way leads to destruction. So we have become the very opposite of that. And therefore, if it were any of our modern Christians in Paul's shoes in Acts 16, we may not end up singing hymns and praising God. We may be there in our misery. Here's a question. Where are you now in your life and in your Christian life? Do you feel that sometimes your legs are shackled by circumstances or things beyond your control? Do you feel sometimes that you are in prison and yet it's like a prison of emotional bondage, or a prison of things and circumstances beyond your control, and you're wondering, how did I get here? All I did was trying to follow God. The Bible says there is a way out. And if we don't discover that way fast enough, we may live and die in our chains. All Paul, Silas, Timothy has to do is look at one another and say, your fault, no, your fault, no, your fault. And then they fight with one another. And the next day they all got executed. The end. But they look at one another and they say, how are you faring, my brother? Say, all right. And they say, let's pray. And they just pray. And then let's worship. And they worship. Because they were expecting difficulty. They were expecting that life is not going to be smooth. They were expecting those things, and therefore they were prepared for those things. And I just want to show a little cross-reference in the book of Acts when they were persecuted in the book of Acts chapter 4. Book of Acts chapter 4, and it says here in verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen. And so they were prepared when they were threatened to continue to preach the gospel, to continue to stand in the gospel. And then in chapter 5 verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Look at verse 41. I like the way the Bible phrases it. They rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In other words, suffering for Jesus is a privilege. It is a great honor if someone persecute you. Have you regarded it as has a preacher told you that? I mean, we have not been told that when someone persecute you, it's a great honor. Now, if we have been trained from a young Christian until we are old Christian, it's an honor to be persecuted. It's an honor to suffer for Jesus. It's an honor. The next time someone persecute you and spits at you, you turn around, thank you. Thank you for the honor. It's a very opposite reaction. But because we are not trained, and someone spits at you on the street when you say Jesus, they go, pui. Most probably you will go, pui back. And then there will be a fight. And then you both end up in